Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Philip found Nathanael and said, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him." You know, climbing ladders can be a dangerous thing. About 136,000 people a year are injured in ladder-related accidents. And that's probably why when you buy a ladder, it's plastered with all kinds of warning labels, right? Don't step here. Don't put anything on this step. Don't place the ladder on this kind of surface. Put it on that one. Make sure the angle of the ladder isn't too steep or shallow. Don't go higher than this step. Don't sit on this step. And because of all these warnings, even after I set up a ladder, I wonder if I should even use it, right? Maybe that's why the accidents happen. I don't know. Well, in our text this morning, we seem to catch a little glimpse of the sinful human propensity to try and climb a ladder to Christ. And if climbing a regular ladder is dangerous, climbing a ladder to God is downright dangerous. Deadly. Our heavenward ladder climbing began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You know, we often describe the entrance of sin into the world as the fall, and that's because it was. It was falling off of a ladder, if you will. For the very lie of Satan was that Adam and Eve could be like God. And so they reached up, striving not only for the forbidden fruit, not only striving to attain something that God hadn't given them, but also striving upward to be like God himself. Indeed, to be little gods unto themselves. And ever since then, humanity has striven, rung by ladder rung, to reach God. Now, there are different ladders that we use to climb and to try to reach God. Perhaps the most common one is the run-of-the-mill works righteousness. There's this God who is mighty and perfect and needs to be placated, needs to be kept happy, and so I set up my ladder of good works and I start climbing. Problem with the good works ladder is that as I climb, I realize that the ladder, it keeps going and going and going. And the higher that I get, the rungs get narrower and narrower because the good works required are more demanding until I finally fall off. No matter how many times I get back on and try to climb the good works ladder, I will always fall off because my good works will prove to be either too difficult or insufficient for the task. Now, we're good Lutherans, right? So we don't play around with the good works ladder. We have other ones. What about the mysticism ladder? And I don't mean sort of full-blown New Age kind of thinking. I mean simply looking for God in places he hasn't promised to be. Maybe it's searching inside myself to try to find God's will. Maybe it's looking inside to be assured of his presence by some kind of feeling that I have. Maybe it's looking outside at all of life's circumstances, waiting for all of those circumstances to just align perfectly so then I know what God's will is. Maybe it's going into my prayer closet to try and discern the voice of God inside as I long for answers to my questions and my suffering. Yes, the mysticism ladder is quite appealing, but it is also terrifyingly uncertain. It's like a ladder that's not leaning against anything. Two of its feet are on the ground, but the top of it is just sort of balancing in the air, and you're up there trying to keep it up, looking for God in places he hasn't promised to be. And the problem is that you don't have any certainty on the mysticism ladder. How do you know that this voice or this feeling or this intuition is from God? How do you know it's not last night's spicy dinner? How do you know it's not Satan masquerading as an angel of light. See, that's the problem when you ascend the ladder of mysticism and leave God's certain word behind on the ground. Or what about the rationalism ladder? You know, using our minds to strive upwards to God, thinking we can get inside his head and figure him out. And yes, there's a problem with this ladder as well. If the good works ladder was too long, the rationalism ladder is far too short. You quickly learn the limits of your human mind as you strive to attain some kind of knowledge about God's wisdom and as you try to figure him out. It's like painting a skyscraper with nothing but a 3-foot stepladder. I'm sure there are many more ladders that we try to climb, but the thing that all of these approaches to God have in common is that they're all about you searching for Jesus. They're all about you trying to find and come to him. Now, the reason I bring all this up is because we have this glimpse of a ladder in our text, and it's when Philip finds Nathanael and he says to him concerning Jesus, "We have found him." I think it's actually printed on the front of your bulletin. Now, it might be a small detail, but this is kind of an interesting thing for Philip to say, since just before this, the text says the exact opposite. In verse 43, John tells us that Jesus found Philip. Not that Philip found Jesus. Jesus found Philip, came to him, and said to him, "Follow me." And what ensues is this interaction between Christ and his disciples, where he does some ladder theology of his own in order to teach them what it is to follow him. So after Jesus finds Philip, Philip goes and finds Nathanael, and he says, "We have found him of whom the law of Moses and the prophets speak, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And what is Nathanael's response? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I mean, Nazareth is like podunk Galilee. It's the sticks. You don't expect anything good or worthwhile to come out of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? You know, as an aside, we ask this question a lot, just in a slightly different context. You know, we hear the promises of Christ in very specific places. "I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Take and eat, take and drink the true body, the true blood of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins." These are the places where Christ promises to be. And yet we still contend with our flesh, which asks, "Can anything good come from these places? I mean, they don't seem significant. They seem pretty plain." And in our sin, we would probably rather have some kind of active role in these things. The good works ladder. Or we wish they would look a little more exciting. The mysticism ladder. Or we wish we could wrap our minds around them to understand them. The rationalism ladder. And yet in all these places, it's not so much we who come to Jesus, but Jesus who comes to us. We don't find him, he finds us. He seeks us out in our sin in order to deliver his gifts. So Nathanael asks a question that all of us ask, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Well, come and see." And so they get to Jesus, and even though they're the ones coming to Jesus, Jesus is the one who makes the first move. He says, of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Apparently, Nathanael wasn't like Judas, for example. But somehow Jesus already knows Nathanael. So Nathanael says, "Well, how do you know me?" And Jesus says, "Before Philip even spoke to you, I saw you underneath the fig tree." And apparently that knowledge of Christ is good enough for Nathanael because he responds, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now notice Christ's response here. He says, "Because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now that sounds like ladder language to me, because it is. This recalls the ladder that Jacob saw in his dream all the way back in Genesis 28. Remember, Jacob was on his way to Haran, and in a certain place he stops for the night and falls asleep, and here's what the text says. I want you to listen to this. He dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So what's Jesus doing by recalling this event from the Old Testament? Well, notice in Genesis, the angels are ascending and descending on the ladder. But when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon me, the Son of Man. As if to say that he takes the place of Jacob's ladder. He is now the ladder, the bridge between God and man, but not the ladder that we climb to get to God, rather the ladder which descends out of heaven so that God can come to us. To use the words of Jacob, this Jesus is none other than the house of God. This Jesus is none other than the gate of heaven through whom all must enter to be saved. This Jesus is the one who finds you, even in your vain attempts to climb your own ladders. This Jesus finds you, even in your wretched self-justifying sin. He finds you, even when you don't want to be found, and he saves you. This is truly a greater work than just knowing where someone was sitting under a fig tree. Jesus' great work is not only to know you, but to save you, to be the way that God comes to you, not in wrath, but in mercy and with forgiveness. And the places that you know that for sure are the places where you are connected to Christ's cross and his empty tomb, where he sheds his blood and has victory over sin and death. Places where he promises to continually deliver his forgiveness to you. And you see, those places are not the ladders that you would climb up to God. Quite opposite, they are the places where God comes to you. His word of absolution, forgiveness. The blessed waters of your baptism, where Christ's death and resurrection are made yours. Where his empty tomb is made yours. In his true body and true blood. The same body and blood crucified and risen, which are put into your mouth today to forgive your sin. These are the places where God has promised to come to you. So, I think we can safely put our ladders back in storage. Or even better, maybe we can just throw them in the dumpster through daily repentance and the daily hearing of forgiveness from Jesus. For to follow him is not to search for him, but rather to rest in the fact that he has already found you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.